That is the music of Dr. Deborah Stroman, UNC professor, former player, former coach, and sports aficionado. Great to have her on once again for Stroman on Sports as we begin to wrap up the weekend, head into the weekend. Deb, happy Friday. How are you?
Things are going well. I'm excited. I had a good week. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving week. But it's been an interesting day, as we all know, in terms of the big news around the Rittenhouse case, but also just watching what's going on in D.C. in terms of the House passing the social bill. So just a lot going on, and I'm glad it's another day, another weekend to escape a bit with sports.
Yes, I think you just hit the nail on the head in terms of how I feel. I really enjoy sports because I do think that they reflect real life in more ways than people like to think. But sometimes when you just are able to look at people's on-court ability and you look what's happening truly within the painted lines or within the lines of the hard court, it is a little easier to look at those stories instead of everything that is always inherently tied to sports on the outside. And it's a really exciting time in sports too, with the football overlapping with basketball season, and we've got some NCAA tournament action happening just as other seasons are getting going for UNC sports. So it's a really exciting time, I think it's fair to say.
Yes, indeed. And we cannot forget, this time of the year is all about basketball, but in particular women's basketball. So I think it's a good time to talk about what's going on with the Triangle and our great teams.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Obviously, we talk a good bit about the men's side, but it's worth mentioning that the Carolina women's team looking really good under head coach Courtney Banghart in her third season. Really enjoyed talking with coach just before their first game of the year. But of course, you can't discount what's happening over at Duke, where they also have a pretty brand new head coach in Kara Lawson, and of course NC State has really turned into kind of a women's basketball school more than anything else, right, Deb? They have a really good program over there and have been consistently good for the last few seasons.
Absolutely. And back when I played in the late 70s, early 80s, the powerhouse, and of course Maryland is gone now to the Big Ten, but it was Maryland and NC State. And to see NC State back, it is good for the Triangle. It's good for the league. But Wes Moore has definitely just dialed in every aspect of a program, and they are nationally recognized. They've got top players. They've got an All-American, Alyssa Kanane, who's a 6'5 center. And then they've got a number of players. They're very, very balanced. They have four or five other players that are averaging between 7 and 9 points a game. Ja'Kia Brown-Turner is one of their stars. But NC State is back. They won back-to-back ACC tournament titles, and they're competing now for the national championship. And then over in Durham, we've got big news when Kara Lawson, the superstar player for Tennessee, who went to the WNBA and then got grabbed by the NBA, the Boston Celtics, as an assistant coach. And then when the opportunity to lead the Duke women's basketball program, she left the NBA. But I want people to pay attention to Duke, not only because of the superstar coaches in town and having great recruiting success, but her assistant coach, she brought in Beth Cunningham. To women's basketball avid fans, they know about Beth Cunningham. She was one of the key coaches for Notre Dame, where she helped the Irish to one of the best stretches in NCAA history. They won the 2018 national championship, 5 NCAA Final Four appearances, and 6 conference championships. So they have a first-class coaching squad over in Durham.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it's kind of a bummer that last year we didn't get to see that first year of the Kara Lawson era really work all that much because of COVID-19. That entire program decided after a handful of games and fighting through some COVID issues that they were going to take the season off, that was best for the program. And so obviously not how they wanted it to go, but very cut short, and makes it hard to kind of judge the progress or judge the early stages like you would normally for a team. But you're right, with that structure there, it seems like they're in a really good position to build and build quickly. And I think, you know, optimistically, the UNC program, Deb, maybe is kind of in the middle of where Duke and where State is. They have a relatively new head coach who is bringing in her own regime, bringing in some incredible recruiting classes that in the first couple of seasons have not quite gotten to the level of elite, and I should say consistently good on the court, but they have shown some really high moments, including some upsets against NC State. And now, you know, Courtney Banghart bringing in the second best recruiting class in the country.
Well, this is the time where you have to put up or shut up, because she has great facilities. And one of the reasons why I won't ever say it's easy, because recruiting is hard, but you get in people's living rooms because it is Carolina. Every great athlete in the country will listen to a Carolina coach because of the tradition. Now, whether you sign the player, that's a different matter, but everybody listens to Carolina. And women's basketball is no exception. We have a great tradition with women's basketball, and I'll puff out my chest a little bit, winning the 1984 ACC championship with Coach Jennifer Alley. But now when we look at Carolina, Coach Banghart and her staff has done a great job with recruiting. However, the league is tough, and it's hard to make a dent. And so she's got more top players, but now she has to see if she can actually move us up into the top four in the league, which is difficult because Louisville is always a powerhouse. Now you have NC State, Florida State, Notre Dame. I mean, it's just a tough, tough league to demonstrate how good your program is. Now, the nice thing is that the ACC is recognized as arguably the best women's basketball league. So generally with the NCAA tournament, we get at least 7 to 8 slots.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And just quickly back to the Carolina side of things, also such a bummer that, kind of similar to Duke last year with the COVID-19 pandemic, some of that measuring stick of how Banghart's rebuild of the UNC program is going to go, hurt obviously by star freshman recruit Tiani Key being unable to play this year after tearing her ACL during a scrimmage. And of course, still waiting for other freshman Kayla McPherson to get cleared to play too. So some bumps in the road there, but yeah, going back to the ACC landscape, all of those really good teams. Do you think that's a testament to the conference itself, Deb? Because I know that, obviously a little biased, we check out ACC teams more than we do other teams, I think it's fair to say, in the triangle. But in general, across many sports, the ACC almost always has a handful of programs that are standout nationally. And to rattle off so many good women's basketball programs that are national contenders like Louisville, NC State, probably Notre Dame in that conversation too, you know, is that something that the conference is specifically doing well, or is it just, you know, just the way of the lay of the land right now?
I believe that programs start with great coaching. Because you can bring that talent in, and for whatever reason you aren't able to get the chemistry right, or in those clutch games when you can have to rely on X's and O's and analytics, that's the coaching. And the ACC across the board in all sports has just so many Hall of Fame coaches, just great coaches. And so it's almost like playing against the Tiger Woods or fighting against Mike Tyson or going against the New England Patriots during their dynasty. Everybody has to step up, and that's what's happened in the ACC. You can't rest on your laurels. You can never take a night off. But because of the great coaching in the league, which draws the great players, you really have to do more than, you know, just win some non-conference games and think everything's going to be okay. You have to compete night in and night out. And as it's been said repeatedly, that's why they, you know, sign at certain schools. That's why we go to Carolina, so that we can be on the spotlight, be on TV, and get to compete for trophies and rings.
I think it's kind of it seems like a mix of two kind of cliches you hear thrown around. It's both an arms race in the conference, but it's also a situation of iron sharpening iron, where you just have a lot of people trying to get better, to be as good or better than the top teams in the conference. But then that just raises the level of competition across the board and makes it so suddenly you have a lot of teams that maybe sometimes they kind of cannibalize themselves when it comes to tournament resumes, but you know in the end that they're really good. And
well, let me just add, and that's why Courtney Banghart accepted the position here. She was winning at Princeton. But, you know, for as great as a school Princeton is, you know, if your heart is in sports and your heart is in women's basketball, when you get an opportunity to get a shot, the coach in the ACC, you show up. And so that's why she's here. She wants to be the best and demonstrate that against the best talent.
And not an easy job to take over, too, obviously, with the departure of Sylvia Hatchell in that way, with some controversy around it. Not easy to do, but just not easy to fill those shoes in general, too. A national championship winning coach who, as you mentioned, Hall of Famer by reputation. It's kind of tough to step into that. What are your thoughts generally on Courtney Banghart and the job that she has done so far in the first two seasons?
Well, it's been a tough several years, not only due to the pandemic and what you can really do with your team and how you can develop them, because you're, you know, concerned about health and safety protocols and what you can and cannot do, but also considering what was the state of UNC. We can't forget, you know, the academic matter, the racial matters, and that affects recruiting, that affects students and their happiness, their mental state. And then, of course, to your point and the coaching transition, there were some people who were, you know, very happy that there was a coaching change. And there are others to this day who are still very, very upset. And so I think she's managed that very, very well. She's been able to get buy-in from alumni. We've had a number of engagements and conversations. She's been able to reach out to, you know, the players and encourage people to stay. And if you want to stay, this is the way we're going to do things. And then those players who've chosen to move on and take their talents elsewhere, she's been nothing but positive. So I'm really, really pleased the way she's transitioned the program. And I know that our great, you know, football and basketball coaches over the past several years have reached out to her to help as well. And that includes Coach Mack Brown and Coach Roy Williams.
As we begin to wrap up here, Deb, I do have the early standings for the conference pulled up, and obviously chiefly non-conference schedules being played right now. So a lot of teams 4-0, 3-0. One team, though, down at the bottom at 0-3. What's going on with your alma mater, Virginia? Do you have any words of encouragement for their team trying to turn it around?
Why do you have to go there? No, you know, it's been very, very tough for the Virginia alumni. And, you know, two of the most prominent, Val Ackerman, who is the commissioner of the Big East, and Dawn Staley, the head coach of the powerhouse South Carolina Gamecocks. It's been tough for us. This is not where we belong. This just doesn't fit the tradition of UVA women's basketball. Arguably, we have one of the best facilities in the country. It's a great academic school. And so many of us are puzzled. We always give support to our team, though. It is Virginia women's basketball, but we want to see that the day when, you know, Carolina and Virginia is a great game and it's a ticket to have. The same with competition with Duke and NC State. So we're looking for better days, but right now it is a tough time for UVA women's basketball.
I will say this about UVA. I'm a big uniforms guy, and I like it when there's always kind of tweaks and changes to uniforms and logos. I think the uniform and logo overhaul that UVA has done as of late are really good changes. The changes to their primary logo, the changes to the Cavalier logo they've had. I think at least if it's going to be a rough season, they're out there looking good in the uniforms and with the logo package that they're rolling with. So at least they've got that going for them.
I might have to get a recording of this and send it up to Charlottesville because there are so many people who hate it. So that's great. That's great that there are people out there who appreciate it. But it was a very, very bold move by the AD. But again, you have to keep moving. You have to keep evolving. And I think the logo is very, very nice as well.
Well, as always, Deb, pleasure talking with you about sports. Lots to catch up on this weekend and watch. So I hope you enjoy it and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you. Let me just add one thing, because this is big for women's basketball.
Sure.
Hall of Fame coach, Rutgers coach, C. Vivian Stringer, she's stepping away this season because of COVID-19 concerns. And she is one of the giants in our sport. Teams coached by her have been ranked for 439 weeks. I mean, it's just incredible. But she just had more than four decades of success. And we're going to miss her on the bench this year. But many people throughout the season will be paying tribute to her. She isn't retiring, but she did step away this year.
Wow, that is an incredible streak. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. I had no idea, and that's certainly worth celebrating.
Yeah. In terms of Thanksgiving next week, There's going to be great tournaments for women's basketball, and this weekend a big one starts. So pay attention, you know, turn on ESPN, but it is the Battle for Atlantis. They're doing a women's version, and UConn and South Carolina, two top 10 teams, arguably for the national championship, will be playing, and it starts this weekend.
Really excited about everything that's happening over this weekend. So looking forward to it. As always, Deb Stroman, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.